This is going to be the greatest radio show in the history of the world.
It's going to be lit.
I got so much love for our radio program.
Bickley and Murata.
Welcome to the greatest radio show in the history of the universe.
Dan Bickley. Vince Murata.
This is the greatest radio show of all time.
Bickley and Murata. This is the greatest
show. You're listening to the greatest radio show that has ever existed.
The greatest of all time. Feel it right now.
The greatest thing ever.
It is.
Bickley and Murata.
It's going to be lit.
It's the greatest thing in the world.
Welcome, Valley football fans, to a Black Friday, a day where we are transported via time capsule back to, I don't know, the year 2000, when the Cardinals were routinely embarrassed on national television.
I mean, 2000, 1994. 1993, last night. It's going to be a fun show today.
Oh, this is going to be lit, Vinny.
This is the one of those shows where we do basically 4 hours on one subject. I'm just wishing that subject today was the president's visit to the Valley.
No, you don't. All right, we're not wasting any time. Hit it, Jarrett.
The Splash. Splash. The stories making waves in the sports world. The Splash.
All right, so the football game begins. The Cardinals have to call a timeout on their second play from scrimmage. They trail 35-3. They lose 45-10. And this morning, as expected, Mike McCoy taken to the gallows.
Yep.
Fired.
Fired as offensive coordinator. 7 games into the season. No improvement offensively last night. The defense was a mess. That's not on McCoy. The special teams aren't very good. They're certainly not special. So here we are. The reality of it is 2 straight years where Mike McCoy has been relieved of his offensive coordinator duties in the middle of a season. I don't know if that's ever happened before. You brought up a great point. It's probably pretty rare, because if a coordinator is fired in the middle of the season, what are the odds he's getting a job the next year?
That's the folly.
All right. So, and I know this move appeases some people, Bick. And I got a lot of reaction on social media. There was immediate reaction. There was a lot of talk even before this move was made. The question now becomes, what now?
Oh, I got a pretty good idea what now. I'll share that with you in just a couple of minutes. Item number 2, Arizona State Sun Devils last night. Hung close, kind of a boring game until late. Had a chance to tie late. Manny Wilkins deep in Stanford territory. Doesn't throw the ball in the end zone. Stanford walks away with a victory.
Manny Wilkins made a huge mistake there. They probably don't win the game. Sleepwalk offensively for 59 minutes and 30 seconds, and then everybody wants to point at the last play. Look, I don't know what the phrase is I would use. I could probably come up with some that would get our license pulled and me out of a job about the state of football in our state right now.
Yeah.
It ain't good.
No.
And the patterns that have popped up for the Cardinals and the patterns that pop up every single week for ASU are so frustrating to the people that actually consume this stuff.
No, you're
media fans, everybody. It's like Groundhog Day.
It wears you out, and that's what suppresses us as a sports market. Because people go, okay, I hear Bickley and Murata talk about one team, one town. Really? Like, I'm going to get behind that? Okay, you got us. We lose. Coyotes didn't lose. They won a game in Chicago, Vinny. They scored 4 goals.
You got to save some of those. You got to ration those out for the rest of the season.
I know.
Using when you only needed 2.
Right. Save a couple of them.
You
can't do that in hockey.
Put those in the bank, man.
Yeah.
No, seriously, a good win.
In Chicago.
Obviously, this team needed some offense. They got some offense finally last night. And 2 games into the road trip, things are looking a little bit better, but certainly not out of the woods
well,
yet.
Well, like you said, Vinny, you got to give them a little time. All right, the team now.
Galchenyuk's coming back soon, so that's a plus.
Yes, they need him back.
Yes.
All right, the town now, until further notice, belongs to the Phoenix Suns, and we're one game into their NBA season.
You know what you just did?
What?
You just insured like a 38-point loss in Denver tomorrow night.
I'm into it. I know it's appointment viewing for me. They're in Denver tomorrow night. The association continues. LeBron loses his debut with the Lakers last night to Portland.
Shame.
Aw. Yeah.
Shame.
Lakers aren't going to be good, I'm telling you. No size, not enough shooters.
Still have LeBron James.
They have LeBron James. All right, and finally, the Boston Red Sox punched a ticket to the World Series. J.D. Martinez hit a ball 9 miles off of Justin Verlander, and the cheating Astros, bye-bye, see ya, good riddance.
At the hands of the cheating Red Sox.
Well, you're right. The Apple Watch Red Sox versus the cell phone Astros. That's what we're talking about here. All right, that's the splash. Those are basically what's happening. Our focus is going to be hyper intense on our NFL team for a lot of reasons. The firing of Mike McCoy. I am going to tell you right now what is coming next. I'll give you the view from what I think is going to happen from 30,000 feet, and we'll just take it from there. Okay? Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, fine. Mike McCoy loses his job, and Mike McCoy loses his job for a couple of reasons. One, the offense has been historically bad, and then you've got a national embarrassment that was viewed by the world last night. And if you know anything about what the Cardinals have done under Michael Bidwill and the changes that they've made, this hits deep. Because this looks like the same old Cardinals, which is everything Michael Bidwill has done to counteract.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this was coming down today. Would it have come down regardless? It all depended on the tone of yesterday's game. I know Gambo is saying he was gone regardless. I personally don't believe that. I believe that chances were very good that he was gone. But if they came out last night and won 35-20, he would still be the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, was he saying that he was gone regardless of today would be the day regardless?
Today was the day regardless. Yeah. Okay.
It doesn't seem like that would make much sense if they actually showed some tangible improvement for the first time this year.
Right. They would have had to show market improvement, but they didn't even get close to that. So Mike McCoy's gone. Now, you asked a question. This will satisfy Cardinals fans temporarily, but
Until next Sunday.
Because I'm here to tell you right now, the head coach's reputation is not much better than Mike McCoy's. If you poll Cardinals fans right now, most Cardinals fans will say that man is in over his head. So what is going to happen going forward? Well, I think this is what's going to happen. Byron Leftwich now has ascended to offensive coordinator. This is a guy who was under Bruce Arians, a guy people have targeted as a potential head coach in the making. Don't think the Cardinals aren't aware of that, okay? But now you've also got a guy who isn't a Steve Wilks guy ascending up in power. All right.
I mean, I see your point, but I just want to throw this out there. He's somewhat of a Steve Wilks guy now because he was retained by the new head coach who had the autonomy to change the entire staff. And Byron Leftwich impressed Steve Wilks enough to keep his job. I'll just say that.
Okay, but Byron Leftwich.
But still more of an attachment basically to the last coaching staff.
Right. So I think what they're going to do now, Vinny, is they're going to step back and look at everything and they're going to cut deep. And I would predict, and it's just my opinion, that the coaching staff, if barring market improvement from this point going forward, if Byron Leftwich comes in and affects this offense so profoundly that everything lifts up here, then everything I'm about to say is nullified. But if this continues to be a struggle, which I believe it will, then you're going to see the coaching staff change. You're going to see the scheme change. They won't announce it. They're not going to come out and say we're going back to a 3-4. But they're going to get Daylon Buchanan on the field. They're going to get Robert Kamdichi back on the field, and they're going to get Hassan Reddick on the field, and they're going to go back to closer to what they were to try to fix this. That means the power inside the organization is going to shift back to the general manager. To me, I believe firmly that when Steve Keim was suspended for DUI, Steve Wilks ascended in authority. He was the guy. And he gained authority in his voice, conviction, strength. It was all there. We all saw it. That voice isn't the same now, obviously. After the game last night, Marcus Golden was asked, what did head coach tell you after the loss? You know what he said, Vinny?
What did he say?
Same thing he says after every loss. So what's going to happen here is, to me, Steve Wilks, the head coach of the Cardinals now, they got to get this thing fixed quick, or this is going to start to shift in a different direction.
Well, along those lines, this is a sampling of some of the quotes from Steve Wilks last night. This came from about 2.5 minutes of audio, and this is just from last night's game.
We got to come out and perform better than that. Got to find ways to get this thing corrected and corrected soon. We got to find ways to get this thing moving in the right direction. We want to make sure that we're trying to do everything we can to give him certain looks, and we got to find answers to it. You know, got to find answers and find answers quick.
Mike McCoy paid for this with his job. Was he good? No. There are no answers this year. There really aren't. I firmly believe that. This was a cosmetic change. If the conductor is driving, you know, guiding a train with a bunch of broken parts, this is what it looks like.
Uh-huh.
The parts are broken. This goes higher than Mike McCoy. This goes higher than Steve Wilks. This is an organizational failure that Mike McCoy is now the face of.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I think they are, to your earlier point, Deion Buchanan, Robert Kimdichie, and Hassan Reddick, I hate to single those guys out, but are we going to see more of them on the field?
Yes.
Steve Wilks is still the head coach, and why should they be on the... If Steve Wilks, as the head coach, has made the determination that these guys are not doing what they need to do to get ready for football games and learn their systems and do their jobs, why are you going to reward them with more playing time? That's counterintuitive. That's counterproductive.
Mm-hmm.
If they stink in practice, they shouldn't be out in the games.
But
the only problem is... They have a severe lack of NFL talent on this team. The guys that are good, but
if Deion Buchanan, and Robert Kimdichie, and Hassan Reddick suck, then they have a severe limitation of talent. If they've been misused by a scheme that has either confused them or marginalized them, then maybe all is not lost with those particular
of
players.
Those three guys.
And then
of those three guys, one of them has proven that he can play in this league. One of them.
Mm-hmm. One of them has proven that he should be able to play in the league. And one of them in Hassan Reddick has been not good. But look at what's happening here. The head coach is next on the proverbial chopping block. Agree? Will he get fired before the end of the season? No. I don't see any way possible that happens. It's a bad look. It's premature. And you're going to want to see if a new offensive coordinator can change this. I get all that. But then what happens after this season? Can you fire a guy after 1 year? Or do you do what you warned about earlier? Let him go another year out of patience and perception and have him turn into Vance Joseph.
Yeah, and Vance Joseph's got a Band-Aid on things right now. The Denver Post pointed out the last time the Denver Broncos scored 35 points in the first half of a game, they fired their head coach 6 weeks later. It's very temporary for him,
and
too.
And who does Denver play next? Who's going to rip that Band-Aid right back off? That'd Kansas be Patrick
City.
Mahomes.
Yeah, Kansas City.
And if you keep Wilks, let's say, you're saying that it's not necessarily his fault he wasn't given the right players. Does that mean they have to make a move at GM?
Well, and so now you are speaking at the root of this, because whose job is on the line after Steve Wilks? Steve Keim, the general manager. I believe Michael, and this is just my perception, I believe Michael Bidwill still believes in Steve Keim. I do not believe Steve Keim's off-field digression is going to factor in into his long-term employment.
Okay, take that out.
Okay. But it did create a bad situation where the GM was away from the team. But I don't think that's going to be held against him. I think Steve Keim's paid his price for that.
This is more than 5 weeks, Bick.
I know. But so if Steve Keim is also on that chopping block, it's going to be because there's not talent here. Do you think he's going to let the rest of the season play out with his picks being marginalized by a head coach? Of course not. So what I'm trying to say is that even though Steve Wilks did not lose his job today, and I don't think anybody thought it would, he would, I think he's going to be emasculated. I think the control and decisions are not all going to come from him. My perception, my opinion, based on the way internal politics work in sports franchises in moments like this, when there's, is it the talent or is it the coaching? Well, the guy who brought in the talent is going to certainly make sure all those first round picks get on the field and don't languish, because that amplifies the call for a complete house cleaning.
I don't know. You just asked the question, is it the coaches, is it the players? The answer is yes. That was the seventh game of the season. That was the 11th time this team has been in uniform in an NFL environment, and they still don't know what they look. They don't look like they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Proof of that. Last night, in a scripted offense, where the first plays of the game are scripted and worked on over and over and over again, supposedly, these guys can't get lined up. And you have to burn a timeout that leads to a turnover and a touchdown for the other team.
Such a bad
thing. Here was Steve Wilks on that very issue last night.
It's just a lack of communication. Guys, you know, got to make sure that they understand exactly where to align. You know, it's disappointing when you start talking about playing smart and not hurting ourselves. And, you know, those timeouts are very costly at times. You want to make sure you preserve them.
Yeah, so sometimes bad teachers have a bad class of kids.
Uh-huh.
That's what this looks like right now.
Yeah, okay. But I mean, look at the names on defense compared to what we thought they had in the past. This isn't like the Timeline Suns, if you ask me. You got Chandler Jones, Patrick Peterson, Marcus Golden. All right, I'm not going to get goofy now. There's talent on this team. Is there playoff talent? No. Is there more talent than their record indicates? I believe so.
I would hope so. They should be 0-7. One game they won, they got thoroughly dominated by a horrible football team.
Yep.
And a thoroughly horrible and generous football team.
The other issue here is the optics of it all. National television, global television, worldwide audience.
Nobody was watching that crap around the world. Are you kidding me?
Oh, they watch Thursday Night Football in Europe. You think they don't?
Why?
I don't know, because it's the NFL.
See the cool uniforms.
Yeah. Or not.
Yeah. How fitting they were dressed in all black last night.
Okay, granted. All right, maybe there weren't people hanging out at the hookah bar in Amsterdam watching the Cardinals. But the national audience saw that, and that game's going to leave a mark. The optics of it are so dreadful. I couldn't believe that 35-3 halftime deficit was the worst halftime deficit in the history of this franchise.
You know another thing? A lot of people say, like, well, at least they aren't the Raiders, right? At least they aren't the Raiders. Well, the Raiders traded away their best player. What is the Cardinals' excuse?
Who is the Cardinals' best player?
Well, I mean, they have a lot of best players. That's what we spent the whole offseason saying. Their top four is better than any other top four in the league.
I wouldn't go that far, but
David Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald, Chandler Jones, Patrick Peterson.
I think there's one guy in that locker room that can look in the mirror and go, I've played pretty well this year. That's it. One guy.
One guy.
Out of 53 guys.
Chandler Jones?
That's it.
Okay. I'm much more optimistic on Josh Rosen's play than you, but that's okay. That's okay.
Did you watch that last night?
He
should have thrown like 11 picks.
Like he had a chance.
But it all works together. Right.
Oh, really? Really? You try throwing to J.J. Nelson and see where that gets you.
Well, when that's one of the questions I have in my notes today. Why is J.J. Nelson on this team?
He didn't even have the fortitude to complete a route because he was spooked at a defender coming across the field.
Yes, he shouldn't be playing.
He is a snowflake.
He should not be on this team. I totally agree with you.
Why is J.J. Nelson on this team the new?
Why is Alex Avila playing today?
Yes, it is.
But it's not about, I mean, you could ask that question about 25 guys. There's 25 J.J. Nelsons right now.
No, there's not.
Yes, there is.
No, there's not. No, there's not. This is not as much of a player problem as you say it is. This is just a broken system. The Denver Broncos, Von Miller called this team out and said, we're going to come and wipe you out. And you know what the Cardinals did? They rolled over. Please don't hurt me.
They asked, Von,
please don't hurt me.
Do you need a place to stay while you're in town?
it's
Von Miller was
more condemning than that.
Von Miller is a hero in the Denver Broncos locker room right now.
Yeah.
I still think it's temporary. I don't think the Broncos are very good. But
we're calling a team meeting before Randy Johnson takes them out.
Did I not say this all week?
You did.
He knew how bad the Cardinals were. And he probably had more insight than most. Because he practiced against that Mike McCoy offense all year. Well, not all year. For the first 10 weeks last year, he practiced against that Mike McCoy offense. He knew they could offer no resistance.
The Arizona Cardinals, when they played in Chicago, they were three teams. You might have heard of Al Capone. All of Al Capone's boys, they used to go to the Chicago Cardinals games. This franchise started off where if things would happen, you did not want to be the part of the opposing fan base getting into it with the Chicago Cardinals fan base, because it was Al Capone's boys who would spill down from the stands. Okay? This football team morphed from that into a football team that became the laughing stock of the NFL. Before Ken Wisenhunt was hired in 2007, the Cardinals burned through 37 head coaches in 87 NFL seasons. Okay? Jim Hanifin, you know the famous story about Jim Hanifin? They changed the locks on his office door at halftime?
Mm-hmm.
The story I witnessed with my own eyes after a putrid loss in Dallas, Vince Tobin came into the press conference, who sounded at that time very much like Steve Wilks. Same thing after every putrid loss. And a team high-ranking executive came in, flipped him the bird. Vince didn't see it. I did. Okay? My point is, this organization has been a joke, and last night was historically bad. That's how bad last night looks.
But they haven't been a joke in the last 12 years.
No, and that's why
been on equal footing with the rest of the league, they've been a very well-run organization that's been largely competitive. They've played for a Super Bowl title. They've been to the playoffs. We're not talking about playoff droughts, but I agree with you at the end of that. This is a low point. Your column called it rock bottom. It might be. This morning, the general manager, Steve Keim, was on with Doug and Wolf today. This question was asked at 7:47 a.m. Will Mike McCoy be the OC moving forward?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to talk on the radio about anybody's job status, but I can tell you that, everybody in this organization is being evaluated, and we got to make the improvements that are necessary. So I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, and 33 minutes later, the press release was released by the Arizona Cardinals that Mike McCoy had been relieved of his duties at 8:20 a.m. So it really, in reality, that move was already done. The semantics, yes. Moving forward, does this make any difference whatsoever? Could you imagine Byron Leftwich is getting a golden opportunity very early in his coaching career to be an offensive coordinator and a play caller.
Uh-huh. And a head coach in waiting.
I mean, imagine that. It's like, wow, the overwhelming joy. This is what I've been Oh, wait. Never mind.
It will probably
it's not even a fair assessment of him, probably.
His starting quarterback is walking around today with a boot on his foot because of coaching malfeasance. Josh Rosen in the game down 35 points, injures his toe.
Well, let's get into that.
We don't have time.
Sure we do.
We're here all day.
The Cardinals are down 10 points on a fourth down with over 3 minutes to go in Minnesota. It's fourth and 25. They punt the football.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get it back. They lose the game. Not saying you go for it there, and there's not a lot of plays in the playbook for fourth and 25, but there's a chance. There's a minuscule chance you might do something if you would have called something better on third down. Last night, in a 35-point deficit with the two-minute warning, they let their quarterback throw the ball. Why not just punt there? Why not just run it up the middle like you've done 63% of your run plays anyway and get your quarterback off the field? The Broncos are taking knees anyway.
Yeah.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
Oh, way to protect your franchise quarterback there. You spend 5 months nursing a fragile veteran, but then you subject your franchise rookie to that. That's just insanity.
The Wells Fargo Fiesta Bowl Par 3 Challenge presented by Kadima Ventures is teeing up November 1st and 2nd at Mountain Shadows. compete for prizes on every hole, even $1 million. Everyone wins because all proceeds support Fiesta Bowl charities. Book your foursome today at fiestabowl.org. Coming up next on this Friday, we'll relive the horror. It's Big Red React straight ahead. Bickley and Murata live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Bickley and Murata, Big Red Reacts. Reaction to yesterday's Cardinals game. Presented by Arizona Central Credit Union.
All right, let's jump into the nightmare water, shall we? We'll take you back to State Farm Stadium yesterday. Cardinals, Broncos. Broncos win the toss, elect to defer. Cardinals take over after a 13-yard kickoff return by Brandon Williams. Let me write that name down on my list of culpability a little bit later on. First and 10 at the 17. David Johnson up the middle, no gain. Where have you heard that one before? Second down, before they could snap the ball, this happened.
So David Johnson and Chase Edmonds are both in the game, and they're both flexed out wide. Three men wide to the right. And the Cardinals look like they're confused. David Johnson confused. So is Chase Edmonds. They're all looking to the sideline, and they have to call a timeout. Great start.
Oh, I love Dave Pasch. Let me tell you something. I had heard, and I've been hearing this for a while. Part of the problem with Mike McCoy calling plays is there's a lot of voices and noise and weirdness that happens in those headsets, basically because of indecision. Guys starting to scream at the play and get the play, and there's too many voices, too much confusion. Somebody said that you just watch. There's going to be a delay of game penalty early.
Yeah, second.
And there,
before
and
the
that
second
timeout,
play of the game.
And that timeout was exactly what he was talking about.
Well, they called the timeout, and thankfully everybody was able to get on the same page.
Two receivers to the right and three to the left, and Rosen in shotgun. Von Miller lined up at left defensive end. He's against Andre Smith. Rosen's pass tipped, and it is picked off at the 15-yard line by Davis. Running it back to the 10 to the 5. Dives for the end zone and in for a touchdown. 59 seconds into the game off a deflection. Todd Davis with a pick six for the Broncos.
Yeah, that would make it 7-0. Cardinals took over, faced their first third down of the night. Third and 3 at the 23. Incomplete pass. Had to punt. Broncos then get the ball. They started moving it. At a after a first and five at the 28-yard line, this is what transpired.
First and 5 at the 28-yard line of Arizona. Royce Freeman is the deep back. Keenum takes, pitches it to Sanders, who's going to throw it deep, far side, got a wide-open receiver. Diving catch is made for a touchdown by Sutton. And it's 13-0 Denver with 8:38 remaining in the first quarter.
Extra point would make
it. How about that right there? That was a perfectly executed trick play by the Denver Broncos. And that's what happens. When you can run the ball, everything else opens up for you. That was wide open from the get-go. Sutton running the corner route, and it was put on him.
Yeah, the extra point would make it 14-0. Cardinals did show some life on their next possession. They went 9 plays, 61 yards. Stalled at the 25, but Phil Dawson booted a 43-yard field goal to put them on the board. That made it 14-3. Broncos couldn't do anything on their next possession. They went 3 and out. Cardinals, ooh, third down. Another issue on third down. Third and 1 at the 46.
Third down and a yard on the 46-yard line of Arizona. The Cardinals did huddle on that third down play. Two receivers to either side. Rose into the gun. Has the football. Pressure coming. His pass near side. An easy pick. Intercepted by Harris at the 40. Runs back the other way at the 30, at the 20, at the 10. The second pick six for the Broncos in the first quarter. Some miscommunication between Rosen and the receiver. The pass was thrown right to Chris Harris. He takes it back for a touchdown, and it's 20-3 Denver with 2:02 to go in the opening quarter.
Never a good sign when during a pick six, you got 11 guys on offense playing Matador defense. You know, sometimes quarterbacks get ragged on for not chasing down a guy who just picked them off.
Uh-huh.
Did you see much effort on anybody on the Cardinals?
There wasn't even effort enough to finish the route.
It was, don't get me started on J.J. Nelson. He is not equipped from a fortitude standpoint to be playing NFL football.
With the early,
he can't run routes to save his life. And he's a nice kid, and he can run really fast. his route running is an abomination.
With the early start time at 5:20 on a work day, there was people probably still making their way into the stadium. It was already 20.
Oh, not Broncos fans. Oh, they were all there. Oh, the late arriving ones were the Cardinals fans.
Yeah, because they were coming from work in town. 21-3 at that point after the second pick six of the first quarter. By the way, dubious distinction, Josh Rosen, first rookie ever to throw two pick sixes in the first quarter of a game. As we move on, the troubles continued into the second quarter. First and five after an offense or a defensive offside penalty on Rodney Gunter. Broncos have the ball at the 28-yard line.
Philip Lindsay, the running back, under center Keenum on first down of the Denver 36. Keenum drops back to throw, looking deep, airing it out. Middle of the field, oh my, Sanders is wide open. Catches it at the 10, the 5, you've got to be kidding. Somersaults into the end zone for a touchdown. A complete and utter disaster continues here at State Farm Stadium.
Just when you think it
can't get worse. A complete breakdown defensively that allows Emmanuel Sanders to run free down the middle of the field, wait for a ball to get there, and then flip into the end zone after running 15 yards, 27-3 Denver.
That was my bad. I had the down distance and yard line
wrong.
Play
by play in a 45-10 game. Nobody cares.
That made it 28-3. Broncos weren't done. They would add more pain before the half.
So it's first and goal at the one-yard line. Backs are in the eye. No receivers. Everybody on the line of scrimmage. Keenum under center. Takes the snap. Gives to Freeman up the middle. He's hit at the one-yard line and into the end zone for a touchdown. With 21 seconds left, the Broncos extend their lead 34-3.
Yeah, it'd be 35-3 at the half. Just an embarrassment of 30 minutes of football. Broncos opened up with the ball in the second half on their first possession, a rare Cardinals highlight.
Keenum back to pass. Throws deep, left side for Sanders. Overthrown, intercepted by Patrick Peterson. He goes out of bounds at the 35-yard line and then flips the ball about 15 rows up into the stands as the Cardinals finally make a play on defense.
Yeah, Peterson made a nice play on the ball. That was a dreadful throw by Case Keenum.
Yeah, it was.
Just awful.
Yeah, I was glad there was no team photo after that turnover, though.
Yeah, finally.
Yeah, I'm glad they showed restraint in that moment.
They didn't even want to commemorate that with
a
photo.
No.
It actually turned into points for the Cardinals as Josh Rosen drove them down the field.
8:38 to go in the third, 35-3 Denver. Third and goal for the Cardinals on the Bronco 4. Trips to the right. Rosen in shotgun, has the football, straight drop back, throws over the middle to Fitzgerald, he caught it in the end zone for a touchdown. The Cardinals finally get a touchdown at the 8:33 mark of the third quarter, Josh Rosen to Larry Fitzgerald.
35-10 at that point, Broncos would punt, Cardinals took over, another third down mishap.
Third and four on the 43-yard line of Arizona with three men wide to the right of Rosen, one to the left. Rosen takes the shotgun snap. Three-step drop, in trouble, steps up. Rosen trying to run again. Now he fumbles the ball. It's loose at midfield. It's still loose as there's a collision, and it's finally scooped up by a Bronco on the near side and out of bounds. Von Miller forced the fumble.
Yeah, Von Miller was just a beast on the field last night. Talk about backing up your boastful claims. He had another strip sack later on. There was another interception in the end zone by Rosen. Roby was the guy that intercepted it. Philip Lindsay had a long touchdown run where the effort defensively could certainly be questioned in trying to stop that play. That made it 42-10. And then, just as the cherry on a really disgusting Sunday, 4th and 16 after the two-minute warning at their own 40-yard line. This.
Three receivers to Rosen's left, one to the right. Rosen in shotgun with Chase Edmonds in the backfield. Rosen straight drop back. In trouble. Sacked by Chubb at the 32. And Rosen is hurt. This is why you get him out of the game earlier. Oh, no. He's trying to walk it off. He's hobbling to the Cardinals sideline, but he shouldn't be in the game in the first place.
Ugh. Victory formation for the Broncos, 45-10 the final. It was every bit that ugly, maybe even uglier. on national television. We'll have a lot more. That's Cardinals Big Red Reacts. We're just getting started on this Friday here on Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Three receivers to Rosen's left, one to the right. Rosen in shotgun with Chase Edmonds in the backfield. Rosen, straight drop back. In trouble. Sacked by Chubb at the 32. And Rosen is hurt. This is why you get him out of the game earlier. Oh, no. He's trying to walk it off. He's hobbling to the Cardinals sideline. But he shouldn't be in the game in the first place. Oh, no.
I know we just played that late in the last segment.
Let me hear that again, Jarrett.
Oh, no.
I love that. Okay, listen. This is... there's so much that happened last night that just makes me shake my head. There's so much that makes me angry. Not being able to get in alignment on the second play from scrimmage, that is so derelict. It's not even funny. But to leave Josh Rosen on the field on a night when he's getting pummeled, on a night when his team isn't even trying, on a night when his offensive lineman can't even stay in front of somebody, do you know how stupid that is?
There's that argument.
Why do you have Mike Glennon here?
There's that argument, certainly, but again, why are you throwing the ball there? To pad stats? You had 3.5 quarters to pad your stats, and you failed to pad your stats. That might be the biggest indictment of all of the Mike McCoy offense.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest reason why he's not here, if you're just tuning in, Mike McCoy was let go today by the Arizona Cardinals as the offensive coordinator. They've had games where they've been down the whole game. The Los Angeles Rams game, they had more than a half of stat padding time, couldn't take advantage of it. Last night, three quarters of stat padding time, couldn't take advantage of it. They've had instances where they've played with a lead for a good portion of the game. Running stat padding time, couldn't do that.
Yeah.
This offense is incapable of really doing anything with regularity.
The game got so sideways so quickly that any hope to run the ball on a team that was historically bad at stopping the run kind of went out the window. The Broncos were clowning the Cardinals. I mean, a trick play lateral to Emmanuel Sanders' touchdown pass and Emmanuel Sanders somersaulting into the end zone. But the fact now that Josh Rosen's walking around in a walking boot and is having an MRI because he was in the game as a rookie during that shellacking. Steve Wilks, after the game, said, in hindsight, maybe that was a mistake. Yeah, you think? Now, but then he said, but we wanted to have him grow. We wanted to give him experiences. Really? You're down 35 points on a night when your stadium is full of orange, when nobody believes and nobody is really trying hard.
Yeah.
And he's going to grow in that environment. This is the kind of stuff, Vinny, that I keep using the word malfeasance because that's what this is. That is just, that's derelict of duty or dereliction of duty. That alone could get a head coach fired, in my opinion.
I mean, if the injury is serious enough.
What is he doing out there? I said it before, I'm going to say it one more time. Training camp started with Sam Bradford being excused from the opening conditioning run. Babied through all of the preseason, probably led to his erratic, skittish performance as a starting quarterback. So they're babying a guy who's going to be here for 1 year, who is making $16 million, and you're going to expose your franchise quarterback in a 35-point blowout? Help me reconcile that.
I wish I could. Here was Steve Wilks last night after the game, his radio interview with Paul Calvisi on the road.
This is big toe, so on his left foot. But we're waiting right now for the x-rays, and I'm getting information back from the trainer.
Here's Josh Rosen on the injury.
I'm fine. I was just being soft. I'll be okay. Absolutely. I mean, football is a violent sport. I'd definitely rather stay in there and see as many defenses as I possibly can as early in my career as I can. So I 100, if you tried to pull me out, we would have definitely had to have a conversation about that one.
Yeah, sorry, kid, not your decision.
Steve Keim, the general manager, was asked about that decision to keep Rosen in, where he sacked on the fourth down play. As DJ Humphreys was also in on that play, but then you landed on the leg. He said it was a toe injury. Here was Keim with Doug and Wolf this morning.
You know, it's like the fourth down call. You know, if it works, you're happy, and if it doesn't, you know, everybody is yelling. I mean, at the end of the day, you can argue and say, you know what, we want to get him snaps. It's valuable to get him as many snaps as possible, to see as many looks as we can. And then conversely, you can say, well, shoot, we don't want to put him in harm's way. So, you know, again, you can look at it a bunch of different ways, and I know that's not what you want to hear, but, you know, quite frankly, I don't think there is a great answer.
I'll go back to the 2015 season, Bick, and we had this discussion, and I remember distinctly you asking Bruce Arians about it. But in a Sunday night game in Philadelphia, Cardinals have it won handily. Sam Bradford was the quarterback of the Eagles. He threw a late interception that was picked off by Tyrann Mathieu. Tyrann Mathieu ended up blowing out his ACL. And the question was, why was Tyrann Mathieu in the game? And the response, which I happen to agree with, was this isn't college football. You don't have that many guys out there to pick. You can't really empty your bench on an NFL roster. To me, that holds water. In this instance, when you're talking about a quarterback, it doesn't hold water. You have a backup quarterback. You had the option to hand the ball off.
Mm-hmm.
Two better options than the option that was chosen,
mm-hmm.
which might cost your quarterback some time.
Mm-hmm.
What is he going to learn there?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
When you were watching live, before he got hurt, did you say, why is he still in the game?
Absolutely. But then again, I'm always a wuss like that. It was my recurring criticism of Bruce Arians Palmer.
You were consistent with that. I will say that.
Mm-hmm. I am a
big blowout wins and blowout losses.
I'm
you
a
said
big
the
fan
thing.
Of protecting your assets in blowout wins or losses. So yeah. So in real time, absolutely. And I'm just stunned. I hope Josh Rosen's okay. I mean, he said he's okay, but. He's not a doctor. He's got to get an MRI. It might just be turf toe. It's on his left foot. That's good.
But turf toe sounds like nothing. It's serious.
It is serious. It is serious. And if he is lost for some time due to this, who does that fall on? That's on Steve Wilks. The head coach determines when the quarterback comes in or out of the game, not the offensive coordinator. That's the head coach. And that's why people think he's in over his head. And that's why the firing of Mike McCoy is going to be, okay, but is there anybody happy today? No. The valley is defined by anger today. Because Mike McCoy is not enough, and we all know it. We all know this thing isn't going to be fixed. Look at this defense. We haven't even talked about the defense yet.
We'll get into the defense, too.
Let me throw this out here. Mike, courtesy of Mike Sando, who comes up with great stats, almost like you, Vinny. Mike McCoy's firing comes with the team ranked 32nd in ESPN's offensive efficiency metric. Arizona's efficiency through seven games, 11 on a 100-point scale, ranks 385th out of 386 NFL teams since 2006. Only the 2013 Jacksonville Jaguars rank lower through seven games. Historically bad. Historically bad.
Well, you kind of hinted at it. Mike McCoy is gone. What's next for Steve Wilks? Is this a cleansing, or is it just the first in a number of moves to be made by the Arizona Cardinals? We'll get into that next. It's Bickley and Murata live from the Ak Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.